Hallelujah. Well, if you can't preach or teach after our worship teams get done, you can't need to go home and practice or pray up a little bit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's no guarantee on what's going to come forth now, but I'm just saying it does help. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at the Bible, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. You know, it's been interesting this year, it seems like, in what God has led me, and I've noticed with Pastor Bill, I don't know if a message goes by, he doesn't talk about being led by the Spirit of God. I can't get away from this subject of peace right now. And I'm seeing, you know, some things here, and just noticing, as I've mentioned to you before, from our pulpit here, that it seems like that there's a little bit of a move to normalize having mental problems and emotional problems. Now, there's no condemnation. We're not talking about that. But I think we ought to be just as aggressive in these areas as we are when it comes to physical healing. Because really, Jesus paid for it all at Calvary. We'll look at a few scriptures tonight. But you know, he came that we might have peace. Now, you know, this has been put your money where your mouth is the last couple of years, hasn't it? Because everything in the world is out to rob our peace. And I think it always has been. But you know, from reading Revelation chapter 12, the devil has come down with great wrath because he knows his time is short. You can see, you know, you don't have to be a eschatology or an end time scholar to realize this world's getting darker and darker. And surely it's coming to a close, and the Lord's coming back. Amen. But you know, I've been hearing people, you know, also some folks that are mad because they think, you know, we're preaching feel good messages and all this kind of stuff. But you know, I'm gonna tell you what, Jesus came that we would have a good life. Not just go to heaven. That's important, right? You don't think so? Well, okay, maybe we need to talk about that. No, it is important. But yet he came that we could have heaven on earth. He even told us to pray that way, didn't he? Yes. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Living on the earth the way life goes on in heaven. Now, how many know there's no sickness or disease? There's no depression. There's no mental torment. There's no anguish in heaven. There's no mental illness in heaven. That area of medicine is expanding tremendously in our day, the area of mental health, because so many, many people are having trouble in this area. Now, again, no condemnation whatsoever, just like you wouldn't condemn somebody for having sickness attack their body. We don't condemn anybody for having these things, anxiety and fear and torment try to come against people, and depression. There's no condemnation in that, but yet, also, let's not accept it. Let's just not sit back and welcome it in. Amen. It's not about, you know, let's go, well, you know, here it comes again. I guess I better go find my PJs, you know, make sure my bed's all ready for me. And I'm just going to, you know, turn, close. I don't want any light in here. I'll let it be really dark, you know, so I'll sleep this off. No, no, no. That's not the life Jesus died so we could have. So here in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, I want to read verse in the King James Bible, first of all. Just this verse 18. There's so much you could say about this, but look at this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now here, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. To heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. The Amplified Classic here says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He sent me to announce release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. The words here used for brokenhearted, they come with the idea of to crush. to break into pieces. Not just, you know, not just to flatten, not crush like that, but to literally break into pieces and to crush something so that it's almost impossible to put it back together, except God. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Amen? That crushing, that life will do, you know, like Jesus said, the storms come to everybody, whether you're a Christian or not, storms of life are going to come. And we could all probably go back in our life and you know, it'd take too long to get a testimony. If everybody got and testified how somebody in life did you wrong. Some of you take the whole, now I mean some folks, not you, but you know some folks take the whole time because everybody done them wrong, right? But you know, I want to welcome you to the club of the done wrong. We've all been done wrong by somebody. Amen? And probably, maybe not even knowing it, and probably not on purpose, sometimes we've been the one that did the wrong to people. But hey, let's just, again, let's look what the Word has to say, and let's change and do what the Word says and take authority over those things and see some things. So go to Colossians chapter 3, please. All of us have times where you want to get down. Have times where the life tries to break you down. But glory to God for Jesus. Thank God. If he still heals bodies, he still heals the brokenhearted. He still heals the crushed, the broken in pieces. He still bore our shame and carried our sorrows. Glory to God. And all of our pains he took for us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful." Notice this. We are called to live in peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called. One body, be thankful. Other translations say follow peace. Follow after peace. Follow after it. Peace does not mean nothing's going wrong. Peace means calm assurance in the midst of life happening, going on all around us. You know, if you go back and really look at the 91st Psalm, a lot of things going wrong in there except for the person who's under the shadow of the Almighty. Right? You got 10,000 on one side, 1,000 on the other side, but it's not coming near me. You know, life, calamity of life, and these type of things are coming, and oppression's trying to come on us all the time, but it doesn't need to come near us. Now, again, and I've said this many times, I think that one of the things that, to me, stands out is that the devil loves to get us in a passive position. Because when we're not in resistance to him, he has rule in our life. Right? The Bible tells us to resist the devil, right? So it's up to us to resist depression, not invite it in. It's up to us to resist mental anxiety. It's up to us to resist emotions being out of control, right? Okay, let's go back to Isaiah. We're going to look at a few scriptures. Isaiah 26. I think I read this one a couple weeks ago, but that's all right. How many of you know it's good to read the Bible over and over again? Not just once. I've had people, we've had some folks that, you know, we got, when we were in, years ago, when we were first saved and doing things with youth and a lot of different people, we've had them call us every once in a while. Do you remember that one time when we were in that Bible study? And said, that one, I'm thinking that one time Bible study? No. But that's what some of them stopped there, right? They heard it one time and they stopped. I'm so glad for Rhema. Because if there's one thing about Rhema is you're going to hear it over and over and over and over again, right? Why? Until you get it. And then once you get it, hear it over and over and over again so you can keep it. Glory to God. I know as a student, I think I've told this before, but as a student, you know, I was 21 when I came, fresh out in college, came here as a 21-year-old, you know, and graduated when I was 23, back when I knew everything. You knew everything back then, you know, in 1984. But I'll never forget sitting in faith library class with Brother Hagin, and he'd come in and say, "Let's open up our Bible to Mark 11:22. And I said, "Oh, Lord." And I'm glad I never said this, but I thought, if he opens up to Mark 11 again, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you know, every time, and then he'd say something like, you know, every time I read this and every time I preach on this, I learn something new. And in my brilliance, you know, before my brain was fully formed at 25, you know, maybe we ought to make them stay till they're 25 before we launch them out. Anyway, never mind. That's not a new graduation rule for you. Sorry. But anyway, I thought, poor guy must be a slow learner. Because he said every time. Now, I understand what he's saying now. I fully understand it now. Right? But he'd open up there and then something, then I'd always learn something too. It's going back. Now, here in Isaiah 26, look at verse 3. "Thou or you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." Perfect peace. Perfect peace. The Hebrew literally here says it's two words instead of perfect. It says, "You will keep him in peace, peace." Peace, peace. Glory to God. Wanted to say it, just repeat it, just in case you didn't get it. Peace, peace. Perfect peace. Now what happened? But what? Whose mind is stayed on him. So that puts responsibility back on me. Now you know, and thank God for the teaching of grace that we don't earn our salvation and we don't earn. Why we get healed? Because God loves us. Why do we have peace? Because God. But yet we do have a part in this. I have to keep my mind. God will not control my mind for me. I have to control my thought life. I have to control my emotions. Excuse me. Look at Isaiah 32. How many of you are glad tonight you're the righteousness of God in Christ? All right. But you know, it's possible to be the righteousness of God in Christ, but not live with a righteousness consciousness. In other words, live in the reality of your right standing with God. Live in the reality of being in Christ, the redemptive realities. Not just knowing that it happened, but how I'm in it right now. So here he says in Isaiah 32, look at verse 17, "The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." You know, faith operates out of a peaceful heart. A righteous, someone who knows who they are. Righteous, knowing who we are in Christ. The result, or instead of the word effect, the work, you could say the fruit of righteousness, is peace. Peace. Peace what? Peace with God. How many of God have we got peace with God? All right? We've got peace. We've got peace that was between us has been done away with. We can come to God. He's our Father. We're His children. We got peace. But also this peace covers every aspect of our life. It's a, as he said before, it's a perfect peace. Now look in Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We've read this probably many times before. But look here. Because again, we need to know that we have that peace is part of our redemption. Amen. Soundness of mind, clarity of thought, having your emotions work for you, not against you, is part of our redemption. We are redeemed from turmoil. We are redeemed from anxiety. We are redeemed from depression. Amen. Now again, no condemnation if those things are hindering, but understand, we are redeemed. And I've, you know, sometimes, and it's good to know, we need to go, thank God for doctors that tell us different things, and it's good to know what we're dealing with and what we're believing for, but you know, when you break it all down, no matter what is said, the Bible is true. And if I'm going to get what the Bible says, I've got to put it first place. All right? I've got, I got to say, well, the doctor said this, but I've got to start doing this. Well, the doctor told me this, but God said this. Don't get me started on but God. Don't get me. That's my favorite saying in the Bible, but God. All right. But God said, well, what did God say about it? And I know in dealing with people in the medical field and coming into the things of faith, sometimes they're so schooled in the, you know, the medical side of things and the natural side of it that it's hard to get them over into faith because it's hard to put God's word first place over that. I'm talking to them, well, this is the symptom, and here's what's going to happen next, and here's, wait a minute. That's if nothing else happens. But God said by Jesus' stripes you're healed. But God said, well, look here in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You know, a lot of people are brokenhearted because of sorrow that happened in life. A loss of a loved one. Amen. Someone, a tragedy that took place. But Jesus carried those for us. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Look at this. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Not the punishment, but the price so that we could have peace was carried out by Jesus. When? The same time he bore my sin and your sin, the same time that he bore our sickness and disease, the same time that he took our pains and our sorrows, he also put upon himself and gave us peace. He took our anxiety. He took our depression. He took our oppression. He took our mental illness and gave us back peace. It belongs to us. Isaiah 54. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. Amplified Classic Version. Isaiah 54, verse 4. Fear not, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be confounded and depressed, for you shall not be put to shame. For you shall forget the shame of your youth, and you shall not seriously remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 11 talking about Abraham. How that God, you know, he's looking for a land he didn't know where he's going. All right? But he was searching for a city made by God, the Bible said. But there's a statement made in there that said, and had they remembered the place from which they came, they would have had opportunity to return there. There comes a time, now listen to me. We're talking about how do we live in this peace. There comes a time you're going to have to let the past be the past and don't bring it up in your thought life anymore. Because the more you keep thinking, the more you keep living in it. I know. Well, that's just so. No, it's not hard because the Bible is not hard to do. Now, you are going to have to resist the devil. He doesn't want you to do it. But taking those thoughts captive and saying, notice what he said here. You will forget your shame. You will forget that you were a widow, in this case, the reproach of that. Any shame that you've ever had, any reproach that's ever come on you, because of Jesus, it's gone. Look at Isaiah chapter 60. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Classic also. You know, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Listen to this from the Amplified. I like this. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Woo, man, you can't keep a man or woman of God down. Rise up, glory to God. Rise up out of that circumstance that's kept you down. Rise up out of that. Well, I was born on this side. I was off the tracks. I was born in this. I was born this way. Rise up from that, glory to God. I want to rise up out of that depression. Rise up out of that what's prostrated you on the ground. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Woo! If you're a Christian in here tonight, you're a container of glory. The glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'd do you good to go out there and get Pastor's book, Greater Glory. Get that teaching series. Hallelujah. That glory that we're walking in these days. I'd go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. So Jesus talked about this peace that we're to have. Freedom from oppression, freedom from depression, freedom from mental illness. I mean, sometimes, you know, you kind of hesitate to say some things, but you know, the Bible's clear on it. Jesus has redeemed mankind fully. Amen. I'm going to tell you this, just because you get older doesn't mean your mind has to go either. I mentioned to you before that here a few years ago, I started forgetting things. I'd be right in the middle of a talk, and man, I'd be just conversation with men, and I'd just forget. And she started getting frustrated. I finally told her, well, I said, I've noticed it. I'm believing God. I started declaring not the symptoms, but the answer. And she joined in with me and doing great. Amen. Now, sometimes you get tired, you know, something is better off not to remember, but you know, that kind of thing. But you know what I'm saying? I don't have those times where just things start, it's totally blank. Glory to God. Amen? All right, look here in John chapter 14. Let's read this from the King James first. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Now notice, so this peace, the peace of God, is not like the peace that's in the world. Peace of the world, it means there's nothing going on. It's just all calm. This is the type of peace that is, you're peaceful when the waves are crashing into the ship. You're in the back of the boat sleeping. And all of your staff's going crazy thinking they're going to die. You're just in the back of the boat sleeping. You've got peace. Why? I said, we're going to the other side. Now, Jesus said he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything that he didn't hear from the Father. He didn't do anything of his own will. So evidently, it was God's will for him to go to the other side. So he told him, let's go to the other side, and I'm going to sleep. And I don't care how high the waves get, how strong the wind blows, we're going to the other side. Now, see, here's somebody operating in peace. We say, well, that was Jesus. Well, who's our example? We're to be conformed in the image of Jesus, the Bible says, Romans 8. We're to live like he did. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. His very life's in us. Glory to God. He goes on to say, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now that part of that verse, that last part, caught me here a few months ago. And I started seeing some things here about my responsibility. He said, let not your heart be troubled. So how many of you realize, understood, is you don't let your heart be troubled. Is that right? That's good. That's English, some grammar there. But you don't let your heart be troubled. Also, what did he say? Don't let it be afraid. Now, the Amplified Classic here again helps us with this. I'm just going to pick up that last part. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now look what this says here. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Now, how many of you know the devil loves to, and bless our heart, there's a lot of folks, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ that believe this way, that everything that happens was God. If it's bad, it was God. If it was good, it doesn't matter. And so for us to talk about us not allowing something, well, who do you think you are? You just can't. You can't. God's the one who allows it or doesn't allow it. No, he gave authority. Go back to Genesis. He gave authority to us, right? Even over creeps. Don't look at anybody. But we got authority over things that are creeps, the Bible says. Dan and Barry looked at each other. I saw them back there. All right. But he says, don't allow. So here's how this hit me when I read that part, is when agitation, those things that agitate, you know, sometimes agitation is good. How many of you know you've got a washing machine, you want a good agitator? What does it do? It agitates the water and stirs it up. But agitation, if you look it up, it means disturbance. In this way, it's a wrong thing, because he said we don't allow it. So, looking at this, it's up to me to say, no, 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 you're not allowed. You're not allowed. That's not allowed in my life. No, it's not allowed. Now, I don't think, you know, it's a great idea to stick your finger in somebody who's trying to agitate you to stick your nose. Say, you're not allowed. I'm just saying, dealing with your start with your own thought life first. But circumstances, wait a minute, no, you're not allowed. That agitating thought, no, you're not allowed. All right? The second part of that was, and disturb. You're not allowed. Disturbances, you're not allowed. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to come, but when they come, I'm not allowing them. You see that? Now, who did he say had to do that? I have to do that. I have to do it. So, in order to walk in the peace that God has for us, we have to do something. We have to be active. And the way we're active is in taking control, first of all, of our thought life. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about that. No time to go over there now. But talks about take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Here at Raymond, we were taught this. What's the Word say about it? That's the same thing, taking that thought captive. What's the Bible say about it? Then he goes on to say, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful. Now again, looking at that, then it's up to me to not permit fear. So I have to, and listen, we're faith people, right? We speak to the mountain, right? Well, you got to speak to fear. Fear, you're not permitted. I will not permit you in Jesus' name. In my life. Fear, you're not permitted. Amen. You're not permitted. He goes on to say, fearful and intimidated. You know, the devil is an intimidator. He's a bully. He loves to intimidate us. You want to know what the devil? Just go back and read the story of Goliath and David. I'm going to kill you. At the devil, he hasn't learned a new line yet. I'm going to kill you. What's he do? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's all about. Well, he likes to try to intimidate us with that. I'm going to kill you. Well, I'm not going to go out and play in the street, but I'm not afraid to die, first of all, because that be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. I'm not going to run out in traffic or anything like that and be foolish. I'm not going to tempt the Lord my God, but I am going to be aggressive against fear, and you're not permitted. Amen. Cowardly. If I see myself shrinking back from something, no, you're not permitted. You know, there's situations you can come against in ministering to people. First time you ever hear or see a devil manifest through somebody you're trying to help, and they start talking in a different voice, and it's obvious this is the start of something big. You got to stand against shrinking back, and you got to get bold, even more bold than you normally are, and let that come up. But it said, no, you're not permitted. And devil, while I'm at it, you're not permitted to talk right now either. Shut up in Jesus' name. You can tell the devil to shut up. Yeah, I've done it. I've told demons to shut up. Anthony's not here tonight. He loves to tell that story. We were in Kenya, and this woman came forward, and we were they're asking people to come get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And this woman came forward, and she just starts yelling Jesus and all this kind of stuff in English. Found out later she didn't speak a word of English. She didn't know any English. Now, she's a member of that church, but she came to get filled with the Spirit, but she yielded to the wrong spirit. And so she's going, and I had a group of students. I'm just kind of sitting back there letting them. They finally turned around and looked at me, and I was like, they're all looking at me. So I just walked up there, you know, but by this time she's flopped on the ground. Her shoes went flying. It's a dust storm there in the middle of the church. Got a dirt floor. Bless her heart. And I just walked up and said, shut up in Jesus' name. And she kind of shook. Like, what am I doing on the floor? But we didn't need that manifestation. She yielded to the wrong spirit. I had to talk to everybody about that a little bit. And she got, and all the other people, they all got baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. Glory to God. Amen. But that's not permitted. We don't permit that. We don't shrink back. Hallelujah. You're not permitted. Unsettled. He said unsettled. Don't permit yourselves to be unsettled. No, glory to God. Our house is built on the rock. We're not moving. Amen. If you have to break out that old song, I cannot be moved. Now, sometimes that's good. Sometimes that might be bad, too. You know, sometimes you do need to move. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be unsettled by you. By this circumstance, by this event that takes place, glory to God. I mean, the whole world got unsettled the last 2.5 years. And I was just thinking about it earlier. I mentioned to Amanda down there, in the last 2.5 years, we've had things, we've had more, we're better off than we've been in a lot of areas. In the midst of all of this, we came out the other side and like, how did that happen? I don't know, but I like it. It comes from not allowing any fear and just going on obeying God. Amen? We never didn't stop giving. In fact, we upped our giving. Yeah. In fact, God talked to us in December, or last of November, 1st, December 2019, to up our giving. He knew COVID was coming. He knew what was going to happen in the world. He told us to give more. God is not limited to our economy, folks. Amen. God operates according to a whole different economy. You know, all the money stayed here on the earth, right? It all stayed here. It didn't go anywhere. All the silver, all the gold's still here. But fear, people gather. But God operates a whole different way. One last scripture, John 16. So don't allow, don't permit yourself to be fearful. Don't permit anxiety. John 16:33, again from the Amplified Classic. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In who? In him. Live in him. Live and stay vitally connected to him. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Now, you don't have to believe for that either. It's just going to come. All right? He said, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. Now you ready to shout? I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't have to go out and conquer these things. They've already been conquered. I've just got to enforce their defeat. Glory to God. All of that anxiety, all of that depression, all of that mental things that want to come, all those emotional things that want to get us tied up in knots, that want to close in on us. Jesus has deprived them of the power to harm us in any way. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And we can walk in perfect peace. Peace of mind. Having our emotions work for us, not against us. Being solid, being constant. Not scared of any situation. Not scared. Amen? Not scared of seeing that person that needs to hear about Jesus, going up and telling them about Jesus. Not scared of praying for that one that needs healing. Not scared of just being there and say, hey, I'm here if you need me. Of reaching out to those who are hurting. Reaching out to those who are dealing with things. And say, hey, come on. I'll go through it with you. Let's work together. Amen? Not afraid. Not afraid. Glory to God. Because why? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Amen? Let's all stand up together. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight. We give you glory and honor for what Jesus has done on our behalf. We are those who have peace because of him. Help us, Father God, to know how to do our part and exactly what it is we need to speak out of our mouth and believe in our heart and see it come to pass concerning these things. As we speak to fear, as we speak to anxiety, as we speak to mental illness, as we speak to depression, it has to obey the name of Jesus. And it has to go from us. We thank you for it, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Our prayer team's coming tonight. If you're here tonight, Do we have any guests at all tonight, Pastor? So everybody, you know how we do this. You need prayer for anything tonight, come on down here. And our ladies, if you're a lady, come with the ladies. Men, come over with the men. And they'll pray with you according to the Word of God. Why is that important? Well, that's where help comes from. God's Word is what's going to help us have the victory. Okay, just as soon as we dismiss here. Don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power. And I think Tuesday's the service. Tuesday at noon. At noon, okay. Service for Ms. Walker there at here at the chapel. All right. All things good? All right. God bless you. You can be dismissed. Tell somebody you love them before you leave tonight. Amen.